Hello, folks, and welcome to Remote Control here on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TFG on Mike, and this is Remote Control Season Passes, and we're doing another Netflix show. The last Netflix show we did was Daredevil Season 1 with my buddy Joe Reed and I. Joe and I are probably going to come back and do Daredevil Season 2. But I have, once again this week, DJ Valentine from Simplistic Reviews. Hello, sir.
Sweet Christmas. How you doing?
No, Power Man, you can't have any coffee.
I really want coffee. I'm strung out on coffee.
Okay, so the first thing is I'm watching, like, I know everybody's like, oh my God, Netflix new Marvel series, blah, I have to watch it all right now.
That's exactly what I said.
I can't do that.
What?
I still have yet to watch Jessica Jones. It's not because I don't want to. It's just that I don't know the, like, I know of Luke Cage. I know of Power Man. So that's why I was fine doing, you know, watching this series right after I watched Daredevil.
Right.
But I still just have not gone back to Jessica Jones, and I will eventually. But I know he shows up in that.
Right.
You know.
That's a good introduction to him.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just one of those things where I'm going to have to go back to that eventually, and we'll do one of those episodes anyway. So we're just talking about Marvel's Luke Cage and the whole coffee thing. First thing I thought of.
We start with coffee.
We got to start with the coffee because we got to get it out of the way.
We got to
get the coffee out of the way. The first thing I thought of, because as I've said many times on all my podcasts, I have been playing Grand Theft Auto 4, for at least 8 years since it released. And I remember in the San Andreas days that the San Andreas game, if you did it properly, entered a certain code entitled Hot Coffee, that you could basically watch people have sex with each other.
Right.
So watching Luke Cage, the whole coffee thing, I'm like, hey, this is Grand Theft Auto San Andreas all over again.
They stole their coffee idea from Grand Theft Auto. That, I don't know if that makes them worse or better. It's a good idea, actually.
I think they pull it off better. Yeah. But so Marvel's Luke Cage, Season 1, 13 episodes. I had no previous notions. I had no previous anything going into this because I think I've seen... Is it, it's not Superhero Squad, which one was it? There was a Marvel show recently where Power Man was one of the...
Oh,
Avengers
Assemble? Oh, or
yeah, it might have been Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Oh,
or
show.
I don't know. something where I knew of Power Man before I had ever seen this, and I knew of the character, I just didn't know, you know, the whole story or whatever else, so... One of my things is if I don't know the character, I'll just essentially ignore the thing, kind of like with Jessica Jones. It's not that I dislike it. It's not that I am hating on it. I just have no interest in it. There is a huge difference between disliking something before you see it and just having no interest in trying it right away. Mm. Huge difference, folks. But Luke Cage, I knew somewhat about it, somewhat about the character of Power Man and that kind of thing, and what I didn't know, and it took me about three episodes watching this, is, holy shit, I've seen that guy before.
Halo?
No, this is actually kind of sad. Oh. So Mike Coulter, we're not going to get into the cast just yet, but Mike Coulter plays Carl Lucas, a.k.a. Luke Cage, in the Luke Cage show. And I'm looking at this guy, and he's all beefed up and bulked up and slightly different looking. I'm like, where have I seen this guy before? I know I've seen this guy before. Turns out, he was, this is so sad, he was Malcolm Ward in 17 episodes of the CW show Ringer. He was the strung out guy friend of Sarah Michelle Gellar's character Bridget in the CW show Ringer from 2011 to 2012. And I'm like, oh, like something in me. Like, as soon as I looked it up, I'm like, hey, that's me. I know exactly. So
Is it like, Ringer, oh, that awesome show that was supposed to be like Revenge, but on the CW or something like that?
Well, Ringer is completely off topic at this point, but Ringer was a short-lived one-season show on the CW with Sarah Michelle Gellar starring as twin sisters, Bridget and Siobhan. and about how they can go back and forth and exchange each other's lives and et cetera, et cetera. At the beginning of the show, Siobhan supposedly kills herself and Bridget takes
So it's like life. Orphan Whack, right?
Yes, Orange is the new Whack. Orange is the new Whack, yes.
I bite my tongue. I love Sarah Michelle Gellar. And I remember seeing posters of that show, and I was like, how much do I love Sarah Michelle Gellar? I was like, not that much. So I never watched it.
I believe it's still on Hulu if you want to check. I think there's only... I think this is another debate, but I think it's only 20-something episodes. 20-something. I think. I don't know. Off the top of my head,
Holter
was
a strung-out... He was a strung-out... What was he? A bodyguard? What was he?
He was a fellow NAA person who used to be a drug addict, along with one of her characters. I swear this was still on here. Hulu. Okay.
Hulu's like, we don't like Sarah Michelle Gellar that much either.
Alrighty then. Well then, there goes that. But anyway, yeah, I'm sure you can find it online. So Luke Cage, Power Man, aka Luke Cage, this series. When you first heard about this particular series, was your reaction, holy crap, I mean, now? Or
my friend is a huge, huge Luke Cage fan. He kind of introduced me to Luke Cage and Black Panther, respectively, and I've become a huge Black Panther fan. But he is still like, he was telling me everything about Luke Cage. He was like, that was a comic book issue where Luke Cage went to Latvia and beat the crap out of Dr. Doom because Dr. Doom owed him money, and he was like telling me all these issues. So I was kind of like, oh, they're making a Luke Cage show, and I was more happy because I love Iron Fist, and Heroes for Hire is essentially when Iron Fist and Luke Cage, who are like besties, team up and make their own superhero for hire detective agency kind of thing. And I was like, well, this is a step in that direction, and I like that book. So I was happy, and I know you haven't seen Jessica Jones. He is very good in Jessica. He's maybe the standout, other than probably David Tennant, who is, to me, I argue, the second best Marvel villain of all time. So he's very good in that show. So I was when they told me they're making their own series, and every bit of news that came out from it sounded great to me. And they're getting the guy who did Southland, a very underrated show, and he also did wrote a couple episodes of NCIS Los Angeles, and he did the Notorious B.I.G. movie. I was like, okay, I like this guy. I think his name is Chael Hadary Coker, I think his name is. When he was in charge, I was like, okay, this is great. I got a good showrunner in there, and they told me Rosario Dawson was coming back, and they're going to put Misty Knight in it, who's another comic character. I was very... primed. I wasn't Daredevil like frantic, because Daredevil gets me frantic. I have to see it. I must see it now. I was kind of like, all right, I'm really interested in what this is, because when I maybe 2 years prior, I wouldn't have cared at all about a Luke Cage show. I'd have been Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of apathetic to it, where I was like, oh, okay, whatever. But I didn't really, like you're saying, I knew the character, but I'm not really in love with Luke Cage as a character. Daredevil, I love that character. And Jessica Jones has one of the most compelling origin stories of any comic book character of all time. So Luke Cage, to me, it just, you know, it grew on me. It didn't grow on me as much as Black Panther grew on me, but it grew on me. So I was happy when it was coming out, and I was blown away after watching it.
I remember where I first heard about. I mean, I knew of the character. I knew of the name Luke Cage, but I remember now where I first heard about Power Man.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimate Spider-Man. Because it's him, and it's Spidey and Nova, and that's where I first heard about. Okay, so I don't have the same connection as you do. And the sad thing is, for me, I know this is going to be horrible. This is going to tie back into last week where you're talking about Lethal Weapon. I was waiting for Bruce Willis to show up at this show with a sign on his back.
With a sight on his back? Oh.
Sign okay, on yeah, his yeah, the, back.
Little Die Hard Vengeance joke.
I was waiting for him to show up with a sandwich board sign on. for anybody that doesn't know, Luke Cage takes place in Harlem. Bruce Willis. Dire
Vengeance.
Harlem.
Spain.
Dire Vengeance.
By the Head. Zeus.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, God. The one thing that I know we mentioned this last week, and I know I'm kind of gonna do a flip-flop here on last week when we talked about the theme song. The opening montages for these shows are great. The music is great.
Netflix has a thing built in where after the episode stops, you can only choose to watch it if you want to. Yeah, yeah. Like if you watch, you don't binge, but if you binge a Netflix show, after maybe the third episode, it'll just start the episode at the end of the opening montage. You would have to actually choose to play the whole thing. So that's a good thing that Netflix has built in. So because they heard you. They heard you like, somebody's going to get mad that this thing is so long. After episode 8, somebody's going to get pissed off. So we'll just build in this thing.
Well, that must be on the actual website because I use the website, but I also use the Netflix. I assume it's a Windows 8 version app or whatever, but because I have Windows 10, so I wanted an app for everything. So I have a Netflix app. I have a Hulu app. I have the CW app. So I watch most everything on the Netflix app.
Sorry. I do everything official. I'm an official.
I'm an official
Netflix
asshole.
User. Excuse me.
No. I am an official
us
Netflix.
Real Netflix users. We have the. No, I'm just joking. I have no idea. I have my pinkies.
Will you put your pinky down
up
already.
In the air right now.
It is the official Netflix app.
That's
it's
what they told
the
you.
Windows
they told
Store.
You from the Netflix. Store.
It
they
is.
Say,
So, Luke Cage, season one. I know a lot of people marathon these Marvel shows. I can't. I just can't. It's not because I don't like them. It's not because I'm too bored with them. They're all wonderful, wonderful shows. I have to watch two or three episodes at a time throughout a period of 3 days. So there's 13 episodes, if you want to do some math on that, three or four episodes a day. It takes me about 5 days to watch a whole Netflix series because I have so much other stuff I have to do.
Like The Ringer. Like The Ringer. You have to watch.
With this, I ended up. No.
Oh.
I did that over summer when there was no television. Because let's face it, not even reruns can save us now in summer. So for me, I think I watched all of this series by, it released September 30th on Netflix. I was done maybe, somewhere October 7th. So it's not that bad. About a week or so, give or take a few days. But I would watch two or three episodes at a time, and I really, really enjoyed what I saw. I liked how they built it up. I wasn't so sure. By episode four, I was like, I think episode four is
where it
gives us his origin of the episode four is step in the arena. Yeah. While trapped in the
room. At least starts
he's
with his origin
about
a little
his
bit
past
in that episode. Yeah.
Lucas. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Gives us the how he became sort of and the prison scene and all that. So that was their Shawshank.
He's red. I can get you a harmonica. I can get you a rock hammer.
If he's red,
Andy Dufresne
is
crawl through a river of shit and came out with shades on the other side.
That's right. There you go. By that point, the first three episodes, I was hooked. I was ready to go. By the fourth episode, because they're trapped under the whole building explosion because of the rocket launcher, I'm like, okay, that's where this is going. We're going to get the backstory now. And I started to fade a little bit. And then I came back to it, and I'm like, okay, cool. This is going well. This is whatever. And I forget which episode it is that he eventually gets killed off, but the episode where Cottonmouth
ends up wasn't shot and killed. Cottonmouth was beaten to death.
I was like, okay.
I think she
that.
Just pushed him out of a window, and then he fell, and then she gets the mic stand, and she mic drops him for about 10 minutes.
That's right. Wow. Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom. Good old Marvin the Martian. But yeah, you're right. She does push him out the... So, up until that point, I'm like, okay, Cottonmouth is going to be our big bad. He's going to be the one that Luke has to go up against the whole 13 episodes. At that point, when Mariah kills him, I'm like, wait, so what now? And we'd been hearing about this person dying
silence,
back.
Silence,
the whole,
predator kind of guy.
Up to that point, this, yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so Cottonmouth's gone. Who's going to take his place? And obviously it's this whole Diamondback story, which ties back into Luke's story when he used to be Carl Lucas and everything else. And I was just kind of worried at first. And I know this is Netflix and I shouldn't be worried, but I was really worried at first, like, what kind of villain are they going to shoehorn in here now? Are they going to, you know, bring in, like, Enchantress or something and screw it up? Like every other movie she's in. You know. But sadly, you know, not sadly, luckily they didn't do that. They gave us Diamondback, who apparently is Carl's half-brother, which is interesting. I think what I love most about this show as it's gone along is... the fact that Rosario
TV Coulson, TV Coulson, I call her
Marvel television universe for Netflix.
No, I'm just saying.
No,
as
she's
as
so much. But don't you dare insult her like
together.
That.
She's, I mean, she's Coulson. Great. Trust me, I am not crapping on Rosario Dawson. She's great. Other than the fact that she is like the one of the most gorgeous women on walking the freaking universe, she is great on all of these shows, and. I was angry when I first heard her getting cast because I wanted her to get cast as Echo, which is a character from the Daredevil comic books. And they were like, oh, she's going to be this Claire Temple character. I was like, you're wasting Rosario Dawson. Boy, I was wrong about that because she is great on all of these shows. And this role that on paper sounds like nothing, but is when you watch it in action, I don't know how – when she shows up, it's just like a breath of fresh air every single series.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She really, really is. And it's just so fun. It really is. It's very, very fun to have her around. And basically...
Why are you hating on Coulson? You know, what did Coulson do to you? well, that's not his fault. That's
he should have stood dead.
That's not him.
I gotta go back and try to watch that show again.
No, you're fine. Past the first five you're okay. You don't need. To, I mean, the season one's screwed. Season two, it gets better. But I can understand anybody dropping off a shield. But for as much as Marvel carries around the reputation of being like the safe, they don't do risky things as they should. Making a movie called Ant-Man was a risky thing. Making a movie called Guardians of the Galaxy was risky. Doctor Strange, having Robert Downey Jr. as your flag bearer of your studio. And now Luke Cage, I think, is going to be remembered as one of the biggest risks when it's said and done. You have a show with like not just a predominantly African-American cast that doesn't graze by, they dive head first into Black Lives Matter movement that's going on right now. A hero who wears a costume, who he said, the actor said, he Michael Coulter said, it's an ode to Trayvon Martin, all under the guise of like a blaxploitation show. That is, I mean, you talk about risky. That's pretty freaking risky. That's the showrunners deserve a lot more credit for the balls they had to have to make a show like this today. I mean, back in the day, it would have been, you know, it has been chalked up as blaxploitation. Now we're kind of in the PC. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about guys kneeling at flags and stuff. And it's like, oh, Luke Cage, in your face. I'm wearing a hoodie. Talk about cops brutality, all this stuff. All that stuff, yep. Front and center on a Marvel show. That's, to me, way more risky than, I don't know, having Batman kill people.
Mm-hmm. Batman's only 9 years old on that show. You leave him alone. Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a huge risk, and only a platform like Netflix would be able to pull this off. And again, Marvel going the route of using Netflix.
Jessica Jones was uber risky. That's all about like PTSD and survivor's remorse, rape. Yeah. I mean, I always hear that Marvel's just the antiseptic, you know, safe place. I'm like, are you watching some of these shows?
Oh no, I've never said that Marvel's a safe place. Never. Because they do touch on a lot of different things. And I think with Netflix as that platform allows them to do that without really needing to. And again, the difference here is we as the audience, instead of having to wait 13 weeks.
13 minutes. We can watch it all in one day.
We can watch it in, you know.
I got through Luke Cage in about
a day and a half. I was going to say 13 hours, yeah.
I got through minutes. Jessica Jones a little bit faster than that because I really like Jessica Jones, but I can see it. That show is more, I think, polarizing than I think Luke Cage is because of what the subject matter dealing with is very dark. But Luke Cage, to me, it's just there are some problems I had with it. And you brought it up. I think after Cottonmouth goes, that should have probably been the end of season one. Just to make it tighter, because Diamondback seems like a season two villain. I think if they would have, I know they didn't really rush it, and I know they were trying to, he's kind of connected to the finishing of Luke Cage's origin, so they kind of had to have him there. But just because I wanted more time with him, it seems like if they would have just ended it with Cottonmouth, because I love the Superman Lex Luthor dynamic that Cottonmouth and Luke Cage has, because I don't think Luke Cage touches Cottonmouth this entire series. He doesn't lay a finger on him, and that's kind of what Superman and Lex Luthor was, where it's kind of like, you know, brain versus brawn. And I liked how Cottonmouth always had like a, I liked that whole relationship, and I think if it would just culminated with that, you would have had an almost perfect series. But because it, that Diamondback storyline kind of, I don't say it was rushed, it was just I wanted it to be filled out more. That's kind of one of the major things I didn't like about the show, but I like the show overall, but that's just one of the holes, the Jericho or Judas bullet size holes that I think I can poke in the show.
Yeah. I mean, for me, you're right. Like I said,
ready to go from here. Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, okay, well, he's dead. Where are they going to go from here? Are they going to turn Miranda into the, you know, the mama, whatever the mother's name is supposed to be? You know, are they going to turn her into that character, or are they going to go a different direction with her? And no, you then have the introduction of more of Luke's backstory with, you know, his whole family thing and the whole stepbrother thing with Diamondback, aka Stryker. And I think what's going to happen is they set this up. They set all the origin stuff up for the two of them now. And then season two, they're going to do more with that, like some sort of ultimate, you know, like battle or something.
Because the creep scientist guys lurking around them.
Does recover. Of course. Yeah. And I think that's what's going to set up with season two, with what's going to happen and him and Luke. So I don't mind the whole killing of a character change and then bringing in more of Luke's, but I don't mind that. I just thought it was a little bit of a
new main villain
at first, because
it's a hell of a twist. It'd be, but I think, imagine if that was the final episode.
What the hell are you going to do now?
Let's say you reposition some of Luke's origin earlier and then have that be the final episode, where it's like, and maybe Luke Cage is on the run for Cottonmouth's murder, and you have to wait till season two. That would have been like a what the fuck, holy shit kind of ending. But they kind of resolve it really, I don't want to say fast. It's just they resolve it in such a way where I wish there was, that just felt like something that could have been handled better if it was a season two. You open with Luke Cage on the run kind of thing. But, I mean, the way Marvel has their Netflix shows, I'm not sure if season two of Luke Cage comes before The Defenders or after The Defenders or what. I have no idea.
Yeah, have no idea. Again, like I said already, I have to watch Jessica Jones, and then I'll be caught up on all the stuff that they've done. And
I believe, yes, Iron Fist is next, and then it's the Defenders. I think I have to double check that. And the thing that I'm worried about, I heard a rumor earlier, because Rosario Dawson, we were just talking about her earlier, how she's in all of the Netflix shows. She's in Jessica Jones, she's in Luke Cage, she's in Iron Fist. They allude that she's going to be in Iron Fist because she gets the martial arts flyer thing at the end. I think she might be the reason. The rumor was that she is going to be the reason the Defenders get together, and that reason is because she dies. And if that happens, I'm going to be fucking angry. That was what I heard, and I hope to God it's false. If they kill her, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world, because she has, at this point, will have known all of the Defenders personally. She knows Matt, who when she's kissing up on Luke, it kind of made me feel a little bad, because I always wanted her with Matt. And Luke in the comic books and Jessica Jones they're like married and with a kid. So it's kind of like that was weird for me. Yeah. But yeah, she knows Matt. She knows Jessica. She knows Luke. She's going to know Iron Fist. Yeah. So her getting killed off, it would be a reason to get her together. I just hope to God it doesn't happen. I hope it don't do it.
Please.
You want us Marvel, not to kill her?
Netflix, kill her. Not kill. Good. Come on now. No.
Not kill Jason Todd.
Please, nobody call that 900 number and vote to say yes. Kill him. We have gotten so far off topic, but anyway, so season one, what I love about the Marvel shows is that it's a full story. It's obviously full story, but it's a full story told to us that we can watch on our time, on our terms, instead of having, like I said already, having to wait 13, like, you look at something like Lethal Weapon, or you look at any network television, it doesn't matter, Game of Thrones is a little different, it's HBO, but whatever. You look at anything that's on broadcast television, Flash, Supergirl, whatever, you still have to wait until that next week to find out what's happening next. With Netflix shows, bam, they're all there.
The future, the future!
You can watch them on your time, when you want, no commercials, thank God. Yes. Somebody cue John Cena. The time is now.
But no, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that's why I love it. I remember when Marvel made this deal with Netflix. God, feels like forever ago. And I was like, this is great. Because one, I was more happy because I knew at the time that they're not going to be beholden to censorship, which means we're going to get darker heroes. Like, God bless him, John Bernthal's The Punisher, which is one of the greatest things ever. So we're going to get The Punisher, we're going to get Daredevil, and we're going to get Daredevil. We're not going to get Daredevil. We're going to get the freaking Hell's Kitchen breaking bones Daredevil. We're going to get Jessica Jones, who's going to be talking about her backstory and not hiding, tiptoeing around it, because her backstory, I don't want to ruin it for you, is dark as hell. And you could not put that on broadcast. And they tried to put it on ABC years back, and I didn't know how they were going to do that, because it is one of, again, I would say the dark Batman. Jessica Jones looked at Batman like, you're a pussy. Your backstory means nothing to my backstory. Not only did my parents get murdered or died, that was before I even had powers. Okay. So yeah, get out of here. So yeah, the fact that they put all these shows on Netflix, I knew that we're going to get the actual versions of these characters without any punches pulled. We're going to get Luke Cage, and we're going to get Blaxploitation Luke Cage. We're going to get that character. We're going to get Iron Fist. So we're going to get brutal, which I guess we'll talk about that later, brutal martial arts action sequences to the death. We're going to get that stuff. So, yeah.
Well, sweet Christmas. Once again, at the time of this recording, this was before I had the Pamela Call recorder audio issues fixed. If you guys want to listen to DJ and I talk about the rest of Luke Cage from this point onward, please do so. If not, I understand. Please know that the audio issues are fixed at this point, as far as I know. But at the time of this recording, the audio was out of sync. It is not us talking over each other. It's the audio not matching up. And I tried to get it matching up. I tried for 2 hours to fix this, and it didn't work. So please enjoy the rest of the episode. If no one listens, I understand. Thank you. On with the show.
Yeah.
It's this series, this first 13 episodes was just so fun for me. Like, even though I've said I took my time, two or three episodes at a time, every episode that I watch, normally when I, you know, watch something, I put on my analytical glasses and I plan to nitpick the hell out of it. Not because I don't like it, because I want to be able to analyze something about it, or I want to be able to point out this moment or that moment, or how many times they actually said, "Let's go get some coffee." I don't know what that number is, but normally that's what I do. When I sit down here to podcast, I go over every aspect I most possibly. With this, I was just sitting back having fun, enjoying every minute of it. There's nothing about the story, about the way the plot has unfurled.
I mean,
other than the whole villain change.
Is it episode? Is it episode four or episode three? It must be episode four when Luke is going around the town, like getting people's stuff back, and I'm like, this just reminds me of Shaft. This is like the old. I keep going the blaxploitation. This is like one of those blaxploitation montages with, or the Black Dynamite made fun of it. It's kind of like a Black Dynamite moment where he's just going around. And you had never thought, you know what, we're going to make a Luke Cage show and we're going to model it after blaxploitation. We're going to make a Captain America movie. We're going to model after a spy Robert Redford movie or whatever. It's just, that is, I don't say ingenious. It's just like a really interesting way to take it, where it could have been fumbled. You know how bad Luke Cage could have been? It's a very small margin of error for a Luke Cage show. Could have cast Damon Wayans. You could have cast the Old Spice guy who was lobbying for the role for years. Isaiah Mustafa wanted to have this role for years. And they could have went that direction and it would have been not as good. Because something about Mike Holter, he's not like a super well known. I mean, he's not the Rock or something, but there's something like quiet confidence about him where it's like, yeah, that's Luke Cage. When I look at him, I'm like, yeah, I buy him. Same thing about Rosario. Every line of dialogue Rosario Dawson says, you don't think it's a line. It just feels like it's really being said by this person. Like, I think she has a scene with Misty Knight in the police station, and it's just like, it didn't feel like acting to me. It just felt like this is like Rosario Dawson would normally handle the situation. She would just talk down to this woman just like this, exactly like this. She was saying things that I would think of saying if I was in that situation. So yeah, that's the way they mine their talent. They get these actors in these shows that may be not as like super or popular characters, but they embody these characters so well.
Oh, absolutely.
Halo. Looking at Coulter's,
and again, grain of salt, folks, it's Wiki, but looking at just his Wikipedia, because IMDb, I'm sure, has more, but...
Oh, yeah, he wasn't... I forgot about him in that. I forgot all about that.
If you've seen some of these movies, you've seen him. Million Dollar Baby, he was Big Willie Little.
I kind of erased that movie from memory. I have seen Salt, but I've watched
it. He was in Salt as the CIA tactical leader from 2010.
Wait, that's the father?
He was in Men in Black. Holy, he was in Men in Black.
He was very skinny. He put some pounds on. he's like a chameleon, this guy. This guy is Gary Oldman.
Mm-hmm. Men in Black 3.
No, not Gary. I didn't say Gary Coleman. I said Gary Oldman.
No, I cannot do a different strokes joke, dude. Come on now. Oh, God. Oh, Commissioner Gordon. Okay, Commissioner. Okay, wait a second here. Oh, God.
There's so many
people. Grain of Salt, folks, Wikipedia. Last film they list is Zero Dark Thirty. He was Dev Gru, operative Mike. He was in various episodes. He was in one episode each of Law and Order: Criminal Intent and SVU. He was in he was in Royal Pains as Officer Tanner in one of the episodes. And like I said, you know, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, right before that, last year he had Agent X for 8 episodes. Like you said, Halo Nightfall.
But yeah, he's, I mean, he's one of those, I guess he's just one of those guys that's been working, and we just, or at least I have not even paid attention to him. The first time he ever, like, stood out to me was the Halo short film or whatever. And I was like, this guy's pretty cool. Yeah. And then I heard he got cast as Luke Cage. I was like, okay, let me see what he does. And then when I saw, once you see him in Jessica Jones, because in this show, he's the lead, but it's almost like the world revolves around him. He, and we kind of see how he deals with certain things. And Luke and Jessica Jones, their relationship is just, and I think they're trying to nail the hell out of it, because their relationship in the comic books is very, very, it's like the foundation of their characters almost. And it's very, 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 very well done. And he's very good in that show. They kind of make an allusion to it. In the Luke Cage show, but it is in the show. I like it. Somebody made a comment where he's kind of like, I mean this with no further disrespect, or he's like the Black Captain America, where he's very like a decent dude, and he kind of reacts to how indecent people are around him with, and he fights them with his decency, because Luke Cage is not like, you know, he's not Matt Murdock. Matt Murdock, he has a different train of thought. Bat Murdock is the closest you're going to get to a Batman character in Marvel than anybody. Luke Cage is kind of like going to do the right thing. If that means it's going to be coming at the cost of himself, he's going to do that. And the only person that reminded me of is Captain America. That is a Captain America trait. Because even Mackie's not like that. Mackie's like, look, man. They're shooting at you. They're gonna shoot at me. I ain't gonna be. I'll be hanging up. And I love Mackie. Mackie's amazing, but Mackie's a different character than this Luke Cage. And Black Panther's. Oh, that's a.
Yeah, exactly.
A whole other.
Yeah, he's awesome.
That's a
whole other. It's a whole other bag of cats. Yes, and sadly, all I can think of is that Facebook meme that's going on.
No, I have not, but I
Snuffle Up, I guess, from Sesame Street, where it's called Sniffle Grab a Puss. Have you seen this? I'll have to show it to you. It's essentially just Snuffle Up, I guess, from Sesame Street, drawn, not colored, with a yellow toupee on top. I'll have to show it to you. But, all right, so we're so far off topic at this point. Oh, God. So, Luke Cage, absolutely loved it. I thought it was so fun. The storytelling is well done. The acting is
It's super. A different show. It's a noir, at this point, if anything.
I am going to have to go back and watch Jessica Jones to give it a...
not that noir.
That old college try, I guess you
could say. It's a noir. It's literally black and white.
So it's kind of like Sin
But it's
City.
More of a... It's I always think of kind of leaving Las Vegas, because she's self-destructive. She's been through... People are like, why is she... She's just depressed, and she's been through some shit. She's been through more shit than anybody... You name a Marvel character, I have not... I'll put her against anybody in terms of the shit she's went through. So, yeah. And the villain, David Tennant on that show, I know we're talking about Jessica Jones on a Luke Cage show, but Luke Cage is a part of that show. David Tennant's villain is frightening. Frightening in the fact of, I don't know how to defeat a person like that. I mean, we talk about horror, making this during October or whatever, and you talk about Halloween characters, and the person that scared me the most was Freddy, because I don't know how you defeat that person. You can't. I have to go to sleep eventually. Purple Man is a person that can make you do whatever he wants by just saying it. So how do you defeat that person? So it's very scary. So and the way, and Luke Cage is central to that climax of that story. So you might like it. But just be prepared. It is not Christmas and rainbows, my friend. It is not sweet Christmas and rainbows.
What I love about the Luke Cage series, the first season at this point, is just how, like, we wonder why in the first three episodes, why he constantly says, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. I don't want to be a superhero. I'm not going to wear a costume. You constantly ask yourself, why is he saying all this stuff? Is he just trying to be modest, or is there something that happened? And then you watch that fourth episode where you have the flashback of the prison and how he got the powers and the whole procedure to get him the powers and how he got out of, you know, and then he just starts punching walls and starts taking car doors to, you know, fend off bullets. And just, that's what I love is they, between Daredevil and Luke Cage, they do the superheroic power, the powers abilities very well. Like, you know, he's super strong. You know, he's not, you know, and in Luke Cage specifically, you see how
whatever they give him,
whatever the hell, I don't want to call it mutagen because it really wasn't mutagen, but this elixir, this, you know, super soldier formula, whatever the hell you want to call it, whatever the hell that damn doctor gave him, you know, you see how it has made his skin cells, his whole body stronger, not just inside, not just outside, but on the inside as well, because they have the whole scene with Claire trying to help him, and she can't cut into him and that kind of thing. And it's just so interesting. It's just so fun.
The soundtrack. So have you even talked about the soundtrack of the show yet? Which is, I would compare Marvel's only to Paradise, maybe Guardians of the Galaxy as one of the best Marvel soundtracks of all time. It's, I mean, every, I think it's the guy, Talib Kweli, who's in the first episode. I think he did all the music. He's from this group, if you don't know, called A Tribe Called Quest, which is like my childhood. I grew up on A Tribe Called Quest. So when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, I must download soundtrack. I mean, I was like a robot, like, must download soundtrack, must have it on person at all times. So yeah, the music on the show and the musical acts are great. And I like how they kind of incorporate the nightclub into these episodes.
Yeah, that's always fun. It really is, because Harlem's Paradise, for the, you know, the majority up until Cottonmouth dies, that's the central villain lair stage, except it operates as a legitimate business. You know, and yeah, I mean, that was just so compelling, having these musical acts and having all this criminal activity going on in the background, essentially having Cottonmouth and Miranda, or not Miranda, Mariah, sorry, you know, they're cousins, they're family. So again, I was waiting, because Alfred
she's always great.
An actress. she's an actress that always plays those characters that most of the time will have some sort of turn. And I, she always is. And it's one of those things where I was waiting for Mariah's turn. Like, I was waiting for her to turn to the darkness. You know, like you were saying last week with Riggs, where we need Riggs on Fox's Lethal Weapon to be dark. I was waiting for her to do that, and she doesn't do that, which is interesting, because it makes me
think. She kind of has a Michael Corleone type arc, where she kind of doesn't want to be Cottonmouth. She wants to be legitimate, you know, I'm not my family, Claire, Kate, you know, she's kind of that person. And then, like, Michael at the hospital, he kind of knows, he snaps he can flick the lighter, because he knows he was made for this. So when she starts doing her creepy criminal activities later in the series, it's kind of like she's good at this. She doesn't want to be this, but this is what she was made to do, being a diabolical criminal. So
yeah, that's very, very true. It's just so fun and just so funny. I know a lot of people are like, I know one person that I had to ask him how many episodes he watched. He's like, oh, I watched the first couple and it didn't really bring me in.
Attention span. It is a slow burn. I would say that. The show is a slow burn. It doesn't like have that inside. Daredevil, like the first episode, they're like, he's fighting like a ninja in the parking lot or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, Luke Cage. That's why I say it feels like a blaxploitation. Blaxploitation, it kind of builds. Everything builds to an inciting final confrontation, which I guess in this show is the street battle with Diamondback. That's how these shows typically, or at least that genre typically worked, where it's like, you know, one guy on one side, one guy on the other, fighting the man or fighting whatever, and then they finally, at the final thing, they would do something. If you go in there thinking that in the first episode, Luke Cage is going to be beating the shit out of 1,000 people, and every episode is just action-packed, it's not that type of show. That's Daredevil.
Yeah, that's true. And I that whole end fight with him and Diamondback.
It's funny because somebody was like, "It's just they." I was talking to somebody who was kind of like iffy on the show. It's like, this is kind of like the Hulk versus Abomination if it was, you know, cheap. I was like, they didn't really break Harlem this time. They just kind of just fought around a block.
Mm-hmm. And like you said before, the music in this is just amazing. Apparently, Adrian Young and Ali Shaheed Muhammad are the composers on the series for the score. Just the music in this show, whether it's the performances at Harlem's Paradise, or whether it's the intro music, or whether it's the instrumental stuff, it's just so good. The funny thing about the show in general for me, and is so weird, and I'm not gonna take any points off of it for this, but it's just one of those things that I noticed while watching the opening credits. I think the reason why the opening credits run so slow for me is not because of the visuals, it's not because of the music. It's because they have to list, and I counted, 13 executive producers. Why the hell does a Marvel Netflix
everybody
show
wanted a piece?
Need 13
executive producers? I want to get on this Luke Cage show. Me too.
Why does this show have 13 EPs? That's what I'd like to know. It's like I know from watching Daredevil and from now watching this, I know those intros are meant to be somewhat longish, and draw you in to, you know, to get into the mood of what the show is, and kind of, you know, you open the show with a big action sequence with Daredevil fighting 7 guys in a hallway, you know. You have to slow it down somehow.
715.
Catch your breath. And I get that's what they're doing with these opening themes, but. And I have not counted on Daredevil. I refuse to count on Daredevil how many EPs they have, but I had to go back to this. Yeah, I had to go back to this, and I'm like, 13 executive producers? Really? 13? They really need that.
I think it might happen after their Defenders, because I think. I'm pretty sure. Iron Fist is next. I'm pretty sure it's Defenders, and I think Jessica Jones might come before that, and then come after Defenders, and then Luke Cage. I believe this is just me shooting in the dark. Punisher is in there somewhere too, which people keep forgetting. Punisher comes out soon, so, and I guess he's splintering off from the Defenders, because I know he has Karen Page on his show as a little guest. I think Karen Page is going to be his Rosario Dawson connection or whatever, but I don't know when the hell Luke Cage season 2 comes out. It's I think up in the air. I believe it's so confusing. There's like 6 of these shows, so it's kind of hard to remember.
Okay.
The episode I was thinking of was the one I mentioned it before, where Luke is like, I'm gonna keep my name out your mouth, and he's walking around and get everybody's stuff back, because Cottonmouth decides to steal things and say, tell him Luke Cage, this is Luke Cage's fault or whatever. That was like my favorite episode, because that was the one where I thought the show hit its stride, and any scene where Rosario Dawson's talking, because you gotta understand, and it's not just because she's beautiful, because it's no doubt she is. She is so real. It's you rarely see an actress on a TV show like a Marvel TV show where you buy her. You just, okay, she doesn't feel like, you know, she's being, I don't want to throw your show, your favorite show under the bus, Arch Gotham, where she's like Jada Pinkett Smith. She's not. She's. She's not being super arch or super, hey, you know, over whoa, the
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Real.
Wait a minute.
Fish Mooney's not walking down the street, but Claire Temple could be walking down the street.
You
could
run to
Claire Temple.
I have never.
She would know exactly where to hurt her.
If Fish Mooney and Claire Temple met in a street fight, joking. I'd take Claire Temple any day over Fish Mooney. Yeah, exactly. Let's clarify something. Gotham is not my favorite show. I sometimes defend it because when I think it's getting good, I like it. But the biggest downfall for Gotham for me is that horrible fishy smell. And thankfully, they got rid of it. For the most part. I hope she doesn't come back. She went into the woods last time we knew. And as we know, nobody really comes out of the woods after a while. But anyway.
Elements.
No. favorite superhero? Technically, Gotham is not a superhero show. Gotham is a cop procedural with Batman elements in it, essentially, is what that is.
You dug it. You dug it maybe more than I did, buddy.
Based elements. Yeah.
I'm talking about Luke Cage. I'm talking about Luke Cage. You probably dug it more than
it's essentially all super all week. I mean, really, Errol's. No, not Gotham. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, I really did dig Luke Cage. I thought it was great. I thought it was fun. I thought it was interesting.
Oh, and
it was great story.
Brett from Pulp Fiction, who I think his name was. Like you said, what was his name? He had a weird. Kind of criminally sounding name. Is it Shady? No, not Shady. Oh God, what the heck is the guy's name? It's gonna kill me now. Mm-hmm. He was Brett in Pulp Fiction. The say what again? Detective Scarf. Detective Scarf. Frank Whaley, I think is his real name. He's the only white guy I remember the show. No. He was the only one that was kind of thinking like, you're kind of acting, buddy. Yeah, he was always saying like. Really yeah. over the he well, was kind of doing it over the top cop long. Buddy kind of thing. I was like, hey, let's get down a little bit. So when he died, it was kind of like, okay, thank you. Yeah, because Misty is again another actress who plays it pretty real. She doesn't play it super over the top. I think her name is Simone Mizik.
Yeah, I think he. Had
I think her name is. She's I dug her, and I really am not a huge. Misty Knight fan. I know she gets a robotic arm later on and I kind of hint to it during the show. But I thought they were going to, you know, I thought this character was going to be like a nothing, but she's kind of like one of the centerpieces of the show. She is one of those big elements revolving around Luke. She kind of gets lost near the end of the series where you're kind of like, what is she doing here? But she, from the get go, she's very good. She has great chemistry with Luke. I mean that literally and figuratively. but yeah, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's horrible. What do you want? And my friend from Mr. Robot, my favorite show on television, Ron Jones, plays
very,
Bobby Fish.
Very literally,
who,
folks,
this guy
she didn't even know who she
came out of nowhere. I don't know. From Mr. Robot, first time I've ever seen him. And now he's in things, and I'm like, thank God this guy's here because he's great. And everything. I think he's what the hell was it? And the Mr. Robot character he was playing, he beat out Steve Buscemi's brother. They actually filmed a scene with Steve Buscemi's brother as this character Romero, and then they recast him with this guy who plays Bobby Fish on Luke Cage because he's awesome. He reminds me a lot of the guy who plays Bubs on The Wire, but he's not him. His name is Ron. I believe it's Ron Jones. But I saw him in another show on ABC with the guy who played Christopher Darden on The People versus OJ. And I was like, this guy's popping up everywhere now because he's just good. And he's kind of like, I think, going to be the new Pops. I think he's taking over the barbershop that Luke is running, and he kind of is kind of helping Luke get around some of the legal pitfalls, as it were. So hopefully he'll pop up back in season 2.
Mm-hmm.
First time I've ever seen him was Mr. Robot, and I thought it was the guy from The Wire, but I looked closely at him. I was like, oh, it's a different guy. This guy's Ron Jones is a little bit older than that guy.
Yeah, it was Ron Jones.
But he's great. I mean, wherever he popped up first, I mean, he's always solid. Another guy, when you hear him talking to you, you buy him. You're like, okay, whoever this character is, I know this is not he's the character. He's not performing the lines, as it were. Don't remember that. No, I remember the movie. I still remember him.
Filmography on IMDb. Wow.
Yep.
He was in He Got Game. Denzel, come on now. He was the prison guard. Prison guard Burrell.
He seems like a Broadway guy. These Broadway guys, when they come over, like the guy who plays Martian Manhunter on Supergirl, he's a Broadway guy. And you can kind of just tell when you get a Broadway guy because they know they don't mess around. You can just tell this guy's eating this material. He's read this script backwards and forwards. He knows his lines. He's all into this character. So, yeah.
Absolutely, but it's one of those things where
I got him confused with the guy who plays Bubs on The Wire, but it's not him. I forget that it's a different guy.
I've seen him somewhere else in some other television piece or film or something. According to
great play, that's one of my favorites of all time.
what they list here is three different
the motherfucker
plays,
with the hat. That's when you know when you're writing a play. You're like, what are we gonna call it? I got it.
The motherfucker with the hat in 2011. I hope. Yeah. And he played Crooks in Of Mice and Men in 2014 as well. But yeah, no, I mean, all these cast members have just really obviously made the show, the writing and everything else, just everything has come together with this show. And all 13 episodes, it's one thing to have a 13-episodic television show weekly. It's another to have one that's right there when you want to watch it, whenever you want to watch it. And you can find the story by yourself without needing to wait 6 or 7 days to watch the next episode.
They'll do it ironically, probably.
Including up until Pop's death, where I used to chuckle when Pops would call him Power Man, because I'm wondering if he's ever going to take the name in a season 2 or a season 3.
That was the one thing that sadly, that was the one scene, if I'm going to poke another hole in it, where I thought Mike Coulter's acting was a little off. When Pops was dying, his crying scene, I didn't really like it that much. Everything else, he's fine. When he's playing angry and charming and stuff, he's perfect. Just that one scene kind of took me out of it a little bit, but he's not Daniel Day-Lewis. Not everybody can I mean, not everybody can nail the crying scene as well as Mr. Gary Oldman. Nobody can, though. I told him Black Gary Oldman earlier, he can't nail it as much as him. he's not on Lost. He's not on Hawaii 5-0, no.
He said Daniel Day-Lewis. First thing I thought it was Daniel Day-Kim.
I give it a solid solid 4. It's probably my fourth favorite of the Marvel Netflix shows.
Luke Cage,
I mean, that may sound bad because you got to remember the top 3 of Daredevil season 1, Jessica Jones, Daredevil season 2, and now Luke Cage. Ironically, I think by this time next year, all of those shows might get trumped for me. I think Iron Fist is going to be the truth. I've got my fingers crossed, but I think it's going to be great. And I want to see these guys, because I saw them at the New York Comic Con, Mike Coulter and the guy who plays Iron Fist, I forget his freaking name, Finn Jones, I believe. I want a Heroes for Hire TV show, which is essentially going to be both of them. I want that show to happen. So if Iron Fist is a smash success like these four Netflix shows have been, I think it's going to open up the – I think that show is going to take – I think Heroes for Hire will be awesome. I think Iron Fist will be awesome. I need Iron Fist to be great, so Heroes for Hire will be also great. And I think Mike Coulter is going to parlay this into some other stuff, because now he's on like everyone's radar. Like, who the hell is this guy that plays Luke Cage? Who's this Luke Cage guy? That's Loras Tyrell than another Game of Thrones reference, guys. Yeah,
exactly, absolutely.
I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Jones. Mr. Jones. Yeah, I know, I know.
287, you are not.
I'm talking to the masses.
No,
the masses out there.
287, no.
He's the Knight of Flowers over there. He's a Tyrell. Loras Tyrell. It's okay.
How can I reference Game of Thrones other than Sesame Street if I've never seen it? Come on now.
SimplisticReviews.net. You can get our podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, YouTube. We do some commentaries where we Mystery Science Theater 3000. We just released a Child's Play 2 commentary because somebody requested it, and I didn't kill myself. It is Halloween. I don't know why they picked 2 over 1, but whatever. Oh. I don't know. I think our show works where the worse the movie is, the better we are. So our Batman v Superman commentary was amazing.
Just be thankful that they didn't pick the Bride of Chucky for you.
Me, Justin, Lizzie, Matthew Stewart, and a robot announcer named Julie, which she's not really a person, more of a cybernetic organism.
There you go.
She's,
how many
she's
guys
the
you
Siri
guys
that curses.
You and what? 2 other guys? 3 other guys? She's the Siri of the show.
Oh, God. Well, we got Justin, who's part Batman anyway. And you got Matt, who does his best impersonation is Val Kilmer in Batman Forever, calling out to Harvey Dent, trying to confess that he's Harvey. That's his one great impersonation. And then I typically just fall into a Bane once in a while. What's wrong with me? That stuff, yeah, we... Do that all you want. No, I love. We loved Ben Affleck. Our commentary most of the time we were just like, Ben Affleck's the best thing of this movie. Ben Affleck is great.
You know, that's honestly, I'd rather have a vocoder than Christian Bale eating rocks.
I think the guy on Supergirl was pretty damn good. He's from Teen Wolf. Okay, all I remember him is he's the kid from Road to Perdition, and he's in Everybody Wants Some. That's the only two movies I remember that guy from.
Henry Cavill. That's the guy from Teen.
It's like a spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused. It's Richard. He kind of plays like a douchebag football player. I didn't recognize him because that's the kid from Road to Perdition. Holy crap!
Supposed to be a sequel to something. Okay.
Yeah.
God.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Was it Teen Wolf?
I don't like how this is coming out. Oh, no.
Yeah, it was. I knew I was right. It was, yeah, to Tyler.
Don't
Wilson.
Say 50 Shades
yeah,
of
it was
Don't Say 50 Shades of Grey.
And then apparently he was in.
Oh no!
Going to be in. Oh no!
That was a perfect use of oh no, by the way.
Oh no! He's going
use of
next
oh no. That was apropos. That's the only word you can say when you read that title.
50 Shades Darker. Mm. Yes, yes, it was.
Sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you. I'm still going to go Tim Daly. I'm just going to sit on Tim Daly. I'm just going to sit down here with Tim, good old Tim D.
Yeah,
good old Tim D, Kevin C. We're going to hear watch TV show.
Okay, but that's... Yeah, but that's voice acting, though. That's... That's...
Timmy D, Kevin C.
Okay, folks, this has been Remote Control.
Thank you for tuning into Remote Control. There are several ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can leave us feedback in iTunes. Follow us on Twitter @geekcastradio. You can become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of Remote Control, and wish that you'll tune in next time to hear what TV topic we'll be talking about. Get those remotes ready, because we are all remote controlled.